Moda ani lefanecha ruachai v'kayam. Moda ani lefanecha ruachai v'kayam. Moda ani lefanecha. Moda ani lefanecha. Good morning, everybody. Can you all hear me? Good. Good start. So welcome to the Torah portion of Chayei Sarah. I once heard, let's see. I once heard Eliezer Sobel, a wise and funny Jewish meditation teacher, describe his process of creating his deep meditation talks. So he pulls out a bopper, like a foam bopper, out of a bag, and he starts hitting his head and saying, "You stupid, you dummy, you stupid, you dummy." And that really resonated with me. because I have to admit, this is not so far from my own process. So I wanted to share with you some pieces of my process for writing these talks. So a few days after I've given my talk, I get a call from Reggie, and she asks me for the title of my talk, but I don't know the title of my talk, so I make something up, and she seems happy, and she's very generous with that. But today I do have a title, but it's very weird, so I'm alerting you that it's a little dark, but you'll see how it unfolds both my own process and also the parsha. So I'm calling this, instead of Eat, Pray, Love, I'm calling it Die, Pray, Love. Because the title uncannily explains both the process for creating these talks and how the parsha itself unfolds according with these three words, touching on these three words. So part one is my process for writing the talks, and this is the die part. I start reading and studying the parsha some weeks before the talk with the intention of figuring out what might be helpful to our practice. And a familiar voice arises. I can't do this. I can't do it. So I stop trying for a while, and then, oh no, it's getting closer. So I read the parsha again and again, maybe again. And the can't do it voice is still there, but I also know that it's not necessarily the ultimate truth. So the die part of the title is that my ancient voices of self-doubt, despair have to die. My self-criticism has to die. And has to give way to curiosity and even a kind of enchantment with the text and with many teachings about it throughout the ages. The next part is pray. And here's the pray part. Help! And eventually, I've lived with the parsha long enough, and time for my teaching is getting short enough that things start to percolate and maybe even flow. So the pray part is this. Please let there be some illumination of this Torah portion. Please, some light to shine on our meditation practice and lives. This prayer phase I call not me, because something arises and has its way with me. The threads of meaning and connection begin to sprout, and gratitude and connection to the text thickens. The prayer is Todah, thank you. Then the love part appears. Wow, this is so cool. I begin to get some meaning amidst the vast accumulation of our ancient texts, both in Torah and in life and in love. I wish it was an easier process. I wish it were an easier process. But then I bring this offering to you, and together we find nourishing twinklings of love in whatever the Torah is offering. It's lovely to be together and to hear your own responses to the parsha. Love. And now, how does Die, Pray, Love unpack today's text of Chayei Sarah? So to begin with, it's pretty obvious. The title of this week's parsha is Chayei Sarah, which means the lives of Sarah. And yet, the very first verse of the parsha in the lives of Sarah is Sarah's death. That's the die part of the title of this talk. And this week's die section, Rashi posits that Sarah's death is the consequence of the previous parsha, which is the Akedah. The Akedah is when Abraham gets a message from God to take Sarah's and Isaac's son up the mountain to sacrifice him in order to test Abraham's loyalty. But some commentaries say that God never told him to sacrifice his son, but rather the text just says, take Isaac and go up to the place of sacrifice. There's that horrific moment when Abraham raises the knife over a bound Isaac, and at the last moment, God shows Abraham there's a ram in the thicket to be sacrificed and saves Isaac from death by his father's hand. Rashi says that when Sarah learned that her husband was willing to kill their son, that her soul flew out of her and she died. So the opening first lines of the parasha, entitled The Lives of Sarah, Chayei Sarah, opens with her death. That die part of the die, pray, love. And Sarah was 127 years, that the Torah mysteriously says were all equally good. So here's the pray part. After Sarah's death, Abraham is shattered, and he puts into action a plan to find Isaac a wife. Abraham asks his servant to find the wife. Servant plays a big part, star role in this parsha. When Abraham tells the servant to go find Isaac a wife, the servant decides that he should go to the well at the end of the day because that's when the women gather in the evening to fill their water jugs. The servant prays to God. He prays to find the right woman for Isaac, and his pathway is through prayer. He sets up a kind of test for God. The servant says to God, if the woman says, quote, let me fill your water jug and I will also water your camels, then I will know that she is the intended one for Isaac. No sooner does he finish uttering that prayer that Rebecca appears and says those exact words to him, let me fill your water jug and I will also water your camels. And the servant knows his mission has been fulfilled and knows she's the one and gives her some beautiful gold jewelry. In this prayer part of the parasha, the Torah offers up another famous example of prayer. Later in the parasha, Isaac has just returned from Be'er Lachai Ro'i, which some interpreters say is reference to the Negev desert, where he's been wandering. And I can testify that wandering in the Negev is one, it meditates one. It's a retreat. But this Hebrew translation of Be'er Lechai Ro'i is literally something like the well of the living one who sees me. And from now on, there's going to be a lot of seeing each other, seeing the camels. And that somehow seeing, raising our eyes, lifting our eyes, it will repeat many times, lifting our eyes to see. So another part of the pray part of the rubric of die, pray, love is Isaac lasuach basadeh. Isaac is walking in the fields and or talking with God in the fields towards evening. So the light is getting low, which is hard to see in that light. So lasuach is interpreted in different ways. One is to converse, that Isaac was having a conversation with God in this pray part of the parsha. Isaac's experience in the fields will become the basis for the evening prayer service that we call mincha. That time of the afternoon that we're turning towards the night. Some translate that Isaac was meditating, one of the Torah's seemingly infinite teachings of meditation. And here comes the love part. As Isaac walks in the field towards sunset, he raises his eyes and sees. He looks up and sees camels coming his way. So Rebecca is on one of those camels, and she looks up and she sees Isaac. It's kind of funny that when Isaac looks up, he sees camels, and when Rebecca looks up, she sees Isaac. But okay. Some translate what happens to Rebecca when she sees Isaac in that moment is that she alighted from her camel, which sounds so graceful. Another commentator says she slid halfway off her camel. She was so struck. But I don't think any of those, I think those are euphemisms, because the literal translation of the Hebrew verb, tipol, is that she saw him and she fell off her camel. And through this lens of love, I like to think that this might be the forgotten basis of our current phrase, falling in love, or she fell for him, or her, or they. In this love section of the talk, I'm also drawn to how many times in the parsha that begins in the aftermath of Sarah's death is the phrase, so and so lifted their eyes to see. And what they see marks changes in their own life. And in this Torah portion, what changes their lives when they lift up their eyes to see is that love is coming their way. And certainly this describes my experience here with you each Friday morning. In the context of our practice, instead of raising our eyes to see, we gently close our eyes and turn inward. That closing our eyes together and turning inward together, we enter silent seeing what is arising inside and all around us. This is also the part, the love part of the parsha, that they, Isaac and Rebekah, raise their eyes and see, and they recognize their beloved. Rebecca gives Isaac a sign of her noticing him by covering herself. So the Torah challenges each of us to raise up our eyes and see love coming our way in countless ways. Could be from the miraculous leaves that are still hanging in there on the trees in great color. So here's the last line of the parsha in this love part of the title of the talk. The Torah has the last say on love. Isaac brings Rebekah into the tent of his mother, Sarah, and Rebekah becomes his wife. And the Torah says, Isaac loved her, and in that love was comforted after his mother's death. So here's one more addition now to the section on love. Tomorrow morning at Shabbat at the creek, my son Noach will be called to the Torah in honor of his upcoming marriage to Nidhi. Noah will say the blessings, and I will lay in the lines of love where Isaac and Rebekah raise their eyes and see love coming their way. And so may love help to alleviate your sorrow or our sorrow, your loss, our loss. May love illuminate your darkness. May it enable us to turn to each other for comfort. We carry so much loss, whether from the absence or death of a loved one, or a political loss, or from aging, or from the death of our dreams and ideals and unfulfilled promise. May we remember to lift up our eyes and see love coming towards us, and acknowledge and honor that love. That there are many patterns and stories that block that ability to let in love, that bolster our loneliness and illusions, disconnect. So let's honor love, which includes noticing in our meditation and in our daily lives, whether we're alone or together. May we lift up our eyes and see love coming our way. We in New England have just come through one of the most magnificent autumns in memory that for me has been a desperately needed counterbalance to the most frightening election of my lifetime. The leaves have been luminous with their deep reds and golds, often backlit by a waning sun. So let us make the space to remember to raise our eyes to each other, to this broken and gorgeous world. May we open our eyes and find each other anew and enter once again the tent of love and find comfort in our friendship and in this precious little Jewish sangha that arises anew each week out of our days and months and years of practicing awakening together. Shabbat Shalom. So let's be quiet for a little while, a few minutes, a minute or two, then we'll open it to each other's love or not.